I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be true to his holy plan than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have him and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Well, wonderful, Brother Ingram. Thank you for the song. If you weren't here on Sunday, I want to introduce you to our theme for the year. If you didn't pick up on it, Brother Waits came in tonight and he said, "Preacher, what's our theme for this year? Don't we have a theme?" I said, "Well, I'm not sure what it is, but just look around, Brother Waits. You'll find out what the theme is." But you know, folks, once it's all said and all through and done, and we face the Lord, what it's going to be about. What have you done for Jesus? After it's all said and done, it's not going to be what your bank account looks like. It's not going to be all what we possessed. It's going to be, what have you done for Christ? And ultimately, that's when we face the Lord, and that's when all things are laid out on the table, and the Scripture says, then God will judge those things and judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, by the gospel. And there we are, all things will be laid out before God, and He will determine what sort they are. And so tonight, I'm going to bring you the last message we've been studying this for a number of weeks on Wednesday nights about the examination of self. We talked about the examination by men, and we've been talking about the examination by God now, and then this will be the third or fourth message, I think, on the examination by God later. And we'll wrap it up with Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Would you turn there with me? Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 11. While you're turning there, you can begin to stand. And as you stand, I'll just rehearse a little bit, if you're visiting with us tonight, about what we learned last week. We learned last week about some of the things and the type of works that we will be examined, the criteria that we'll be examined on when we face the Lord. We talked about that it's very evident from Scripture that we will be examined on our doctrine, on what we believed and what the purity of what truth we held to here on the earth. Also, we'll be judged on our conduct toward others, how we treat the brethren, our carnal traits, what little things that we pick up, little habits, little bad vices that we pick up while wading through this world, heading to heaven. Boy, then this one right here got real detailed, and this is where it gets real quiet. And the Bible says, Matthew 12, that God will also hold us accountable for every word that we speak. And he uses a very specific word in Matthew 12, and he says idle words, which means words of absolutely no worth whatsoever. And it's kind of like what the best thing that we can do as Christians is we need to administer to ourselves the thumper rule. Everybody know what the thumper rule is? If you don't have anything good to say, you don't say anything at all. The thing that gets us in trouble more than anything is our mouth. Our words, we're going to give an account for when we get to heaven. Then we're going to give an account for things that affect others, things that affect ourselves, and then things that affect God. So we ended up last week talking about the criteria in which we will be judged. Oh, by the way, did I remind all of us that you provide all the information that God needs to judge you on that day at that judgment seat? He's not going to make up anything. We provide all the information that he needs. So literally, you will be examined by on your own merit, on what you have put forth in this life. Well, John's writing here to the churches, and he addresses the church at Philadelphia. And for sake of time, because we do have several other passages of Scripture to read, I just want to read one verse here out of verse number 11, because what I want to look at tonight is what is going to become, once we're judged at the judgment seat, what does God have? What reward? What is he going to be distributing to the believers at that day? Well, I want you to notice what he says to the church at Philadelphia in verse 11 in Revelation 3. He says, "Behold, I come quickly." He said, "Hold that fast which thou hast." And notice this, "that no man take thy crown." That no man take thy crown. And I want to take that verse and with several other verses tonight, and I want to conclude our lessons on examination by God later, and we're going to look at the crowns that are offered by God and that can be earned by believers. Now, one thing you got to understand, crowns are based on works. Salvation's free. Okay? I've already received, listen, God gave me salvation free. That's mine. The crowns are based on our works, what goes on and what we do in this life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, bless the concluding message now. We thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God. I pray that you'd stir our hearts concerning this matter tonight and realize that the importance of serving you, that one day we will be held accountable for what we do. Now, thank you for salvation in Jesus, and we'll give you the glory for it now in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, we've now come to the conclusion of God's examination in heaven before the judgment seat, and that judgment seat is going to reveal every work that we've done, or may I say, every work that we haven't done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this examination we've been talking about, this judgment seat examination, is a very intense examination. And so to the place, the Bible says that God will even determine what sort every work is, and then also what sort every word is. All of that will come into accountability and rewarded by God accordingly. Now, it seems pretty clear in Scripture that God has chosen to reward believers with a variety of crowns, the Bible says. And each crown represents an area of victory, and loyalty in our service for Christ while we're living here in this lifetime. Now, you say, preacher, does God bless us in this lifetime? Absolutely, He does. But He's also got a reward to bless you beyond this life as well. Now, crowns are quite often associated with royalty and power. But, may I interject here tonight, that's not the case in what we're about to read here. God is not going to reward crowns on the basis of power. He's not going to reward crowns on the basis of royalty. He will distribute these crowns based on honorary distinctions. That would be like someone getting an award that had with an outstanding achievement, say, in school. Say they did something outside the school and in the community, and they received a honorary distinction for that particular service outside the school, maybe in their community. Well, God's going to give crowns based on honorary distinction, not royalty and not power. These will be based on what we have done, whether we've been loyal, whether we've been faithful, whether we've endured, and the ministries that we have been involved in and how we've been reaching people. You know, we'll not receive these heavenly crowns here, but in heaven someday. And the crown that we must accept now is a crown that people don't like to accept. The crowns that we're going to be talking about, the heavenly crowns, will not be distributed here. The crown you must wear and that you must receive now is the same crown Jesus received, and that's a crown of thorns. Nobody's going to put a crown of thorns on your head, but you're going to find out that there's equal as much suffering that goes along in this life as what Jesus went through when they placed that crown of thorns on His head. You see, most of us, what we want today in life, we want a gold crown to sit on our head. That's not for here, folks. That's later. What you have now, as you sojourn through this life, you'll basically, figuratively speaking, wear a crown of thorns. They're not going to treat you any different than they treated Jesus. Now, with that said, what I'd like to do tonight is examine some things and look at these crowns. Oh, by the way, may I say this, that the crowns that we receive in heaven will be based on how we receive the crown of thorns on earth. How we dealt with the sufferings, how we dealt with the things that we face from day to day in this life. Let me give you a few verses here. You can write them down, you can read them later. I'll read them here to you tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9. Paul tells the churches of Galatia, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Now listen, this is important. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You shall reap if you faint not. Now listen to me, folks. There's a lot of believers today that are fainting by the wayside that could have and should have had crowns. They forfeited because they fell to the wayside, because they became weary in the work of God, because they became weary with all the turmoil and all the suffering and all the things that they go through in life. And by the way, people do get weary. And you say, preacher, is it wrong to get weary? If you get weary, just don't give up. Okay, you can get tired in the work. Just don't give up in the work. You can get tired in the Christian life. Just don't give up in the Christian life. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 says, Paul writing here to young Timothy tells him, he says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, the important thing out of these two verses that I want to look at that have something to do, that are important with the distribution of crowns, is this. Galatians 6, 9, the phrase I want you to look at, he says, not be weary in well-doing. And then in 2 Timothy 2, he says, endure hardness. That word endurance, and endure is a very important word, because that simply means, you know what, don't give up. What we've got to look at, this is not our home. We're just passing through here. Your home's in heaven. What's waiting for you is your eternal reward. And what God has in store for believers, He has chosen to reward us with crowns. Now, God has a perfect will designed just for you and just for me. Now, that perfect will is filled with all of His blessings and all of His favor. Now, if I want to live a joyful Christian life and I want to have a joyful life here on this earth, the best thing that I can find that I can do is live inside that will. Once I live outside that will, that's where I become miserable. That's where I become irritated. That's where I become unhappy with the things of God and unhappy with life when I get outside the will of God. I wonder how many people that attend Baptist churches even know what the will of God is for their life. Boy, I'm telling you, if everybody at Trinity Baptist Church knew what the will of God was and then got in it and began to live inside that will, could you imagine what could happen in the church of the living God? Now, with all that said, I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's look at these five crowns real quick that God shares with us in Scripture that He will use to reward believers based on the judgment seat. And I think the answer, because so many people ask questions, well, preacher, what is this crown? What is that crown? What does this mean? What does that mean? Everybody believe in taking things in context? Do you realize that you can find out exactly what that crown is if you'll take it in the context in which it's written? And what I want to do is key in on the context in which it was given, and then that way it will define what the crown is. Now, take a look, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 25. Paul says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown." He said, "But we as believers, an incorruptible." Now the picture he's drawing here, the Corinthians understood this very well. Because the picture that he was drawing here is of a man preparing himself, say, for the Olympic Games. And he works and he works and he works at whatever event that he is going to participate in, and he's going to work hard so that he can achieve the reward. But the unfortunate thing, it was just basically a laurel made of leaves is what it was. And they put that on their head, and yeah, you say the victor, but after a while, you know what's going to happen to that crown? It's going to decay. He said, just as people will work 4 years of their life to participate in the Olympics. Can you imagine working out for 4 years to run a race that lasts less than 10, 11 seconds? And you work all of that time for a race that lasts 10 seconds. He said, there are people that are working for a corruptible crown, and they're going to great extremes just so they can have that crown put upon their head, and it's a corruptible crown. It's going to go away someday. He said, but that's not what we're working for. He said, we're working toward an incorruptible crown. And so that first crown that we're going to look at is that incorruptible crown, and I think that the key to grasping what the reward of this crown is look at the word in verse number 25 and circle it there. It's the word temperate. The word temperate. That word temperate means abstinence from anything that hinders our relationship or causes us to become weak in our walk for Christ. That's what the word temperament is here. And what he's saying is that those who are temperate in all things that abstain from anything that might hinder their relationship from Christ, he said, they then shall be rewarded that incorruptible crown. And so it's very easy to find out what these crowns are by just simply taking it in context. You see, this would be somebody who's learned in the Scriptures, listen now, and practices what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of people that are going to come face to face with God, and God's going to say, thus saith the Lord. And they say, well, you don't understand, Lord, I read that. I believed every bit of that. He said, well, that's great. You believed it. The unfortunate thing is you never practiced it. And see, the thing about it is the crowns are going to be given based on our practice of truth. Not just saying that, hey, I believe it. It's what we do to practice the truths of the Word of God. Now let's think of some things along this line that would fall into that category. Well, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:22, the Scripture says that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil. Right? All right. So if we're to abstain from all appearance of evil, that means we shouldn't even be in the presence, or we shouldn't even be around something that might indicate that we're involved in something, even if we're not. So we've got to be careful. You know what this is going to require, folks? I know this is going to be tough for a lot of us. It's going to require us thinking before we act. It's going to require us thinking through the scenarios that if I say this or I do this, how is this going to appear? And we've got to think. You see, unfortunately, we're going to face God one day. There's no excuses, and ignorance is not an excuse. It's not going to be an excuse. Well, Lord, I didn't know. You have it in your hand. Why didn't you know? Well, Lord, you know, you understand, I had to make a living. I had to make a living for my family, and I had to do this and that. Well, the thing about it is, most of the things that we think are important when they get to the judgment seat aren't going to be important. That's the reason it's going to take us thinking through this. What should we be involved in that's going to be important, that's going to produce eternal value somewhere down the road? So things like abstaining from all appearance of evil. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, teaches us that we're to make our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Wait a minute, Paul doesn't stop there. He goes on and tells us that we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing. That word transformed is the same word that you would use in a term that you'd see a little worm make a cocoon and turn to buzz, call it a metamorphosis. It's a change. He said that's how we're supposed to live our lives. Not to be conformed, but be transformed. And he said those people that stick by the transformation will receive that incorruptible crown. How about understanding that we're not our own? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've been bought with a price. You know what? That means I don't have the right to do to this body what I want to. You say, boy, you need to do something to it because I'm tired of looking at it. I'm sorry, that's all I've got. Now, what I'm saying is I don't have the right to do to it like I want what I want to. You say, well, yeah, I do. It's mine. No, it's not. When you got saved, you gave up all your rights, including the right to your body. You say, well, I'll do to it what I want to. Then you're going to disqualify yourself from this crown due to the fact that we want to have what's ours and we want to claim what's ours. And God says, no, you gave up all of that, remember? You gave it up. We need to understand that we're not our own. James chapter 3 talks about the controlling of our tongue. He said, man, we put bits in the horse's mouth to hold their tongue in place. He said, we can't even hold ours. Matter of fact, James goes on to say that our tongue is set on fire of hell. That's pretty strong words. But you know what? People who cannot control their tongue and speak death words instead of comforting words, they forfeit that crown because of their words that are coming out of their mouth. Remember we learned last week about the criteria that we're going to be judged? There are crowns associated with that criteria, that incorruptible crown. Hey, how about not becoming a stumbling block to someone? Romans chapter 14 and verse number 13. Hey, we're not to become a stumbling block. You say, but you know what? The Bible doesn't say it's wrong. Them people need to get over it. Yeah, maybe they do. But if you're causing the stumbling block to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is, then who's at fault? Is it the person that can't get over it, or is it the person's fault that causes the stumbling block to a weaker brother? It's the person causing the stumbling block. And if we decide that, you know what, they need to build a bridge and get over it, okay, you can say that all they want, but when you get to the judgment seat, that ain't going to fly. You're not going to be able to say, well, Lord, you know what, I'm sorry. There's nothing in the Bible that doesn't say that this is wrong to do. Doesn't say that I can't eat this or I can't do this. They need to get a life. They need to get over it. And you know what he's going to basically tell us? No, you should have gotten over it. No crown. What? No crown. But look at all these other things that I did. Yeah, but you sent this person and this person and this person to hell. How can I reward you for sending people to hell? Amen. Well, this is getting tough. But what I'm saying is, God's not going to just hand out these crowns like he's just pitching out quarters. You're going to have to earn them. And the thing about it is, it's going to take some work and it's going to take some thinking in order to earn these crowns, because they're connected with the criteria. Well, let's look at the next crown. Turn, if you would, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, quickly turn there. 1 Thessalonians 2. Okay, so we've talked about the incorruptible crown. This seems to be associated with being temperate. That means abstinence. That means staying away from anything that could hinder someone or hinder yourself in your relationship with God. All right, we believe in staying in context, right? All right, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? All right, there's a question being asked. What is the crown of rejoicing? Here's the answer. Are not even ye, he's talking about, aren't you Thessalonians, the people that I've won, are not ye, these people, are not ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus at his coming? You say, okay, preacher, what's the connection to this verse? How do we know what the crown is referring to? The word you need to circle in context here is the word ye, Y-E. That means people. This crown is associated with those who are reaching people for Christ. That means we've got to be ministering, not just outside the church, but inside the church. But this crown is associated basically with winning souls, getting people into the family of God. May I say to you tonight, church, that basically what this means is we need to be fulfilling the commission that Jesus left the church in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We need to be fulfilling the commission he left us in Mark 16, Acts 1, 8, which is basically to go into all the world and preach the gospel to a few creatures, to some creatures, no, to all, everybody, every creature. We're supposed to be going everywhere. So that means, listen, not only should we be winning souls here, ourselves personally, we ought to be giving so that other people can go around the world and win souls. Trustworthy organizations, trustworthy situations where we can send. Listen, one of the greatest ways we can do that is through our missions program here at our church. Faith, Promise, Giving. Our missions conference is coming up here in just a few weeks down the road. This will be an opportunity for all of us to begin to reach souls around the world. You know what? God didn't call me to Croatia. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach in my pocket every week, and I'm going to give money to missions so that brother right there can go to Croatia. I am living vicariously through him in Croatia, winning souls. Listen, folks, what greater investment than you can make than that? Hey, the thing about it is, I'm giving. He's doing all the work. He's the one doing the door knocking. He's the one building churches. He's the one discipling people. But I'm investing so he can be there through me to get the job done. I don't know about you, this sounds a pretty good investment to me. You say, what are you investing in? Crown. Yeah, crown. It's what I'm giving for, not only to reach people around the world, because I can't be everywhere. Hey, we're to be a faithful witness. Hey, we're supposed to be not only winning people, we're supposed to be baptizing them. We're supposed to win people to Christ and get them back, get them baptized. And then disciple them and teach them not just the Christian life, but how to win other people to Christ. Hey, that's the way it's supposed to work. You win somebody, then teach them to win somebody, who wins somebody, then they come back, teach them to win somebody, and he goes on and on and on and on. That's the reason, folks, way, way too many in Christendom are standing before God, and he's going to say, man, alive, I had a crown of rejoicing waiting on you. Okay, pitch it right here. He said, no, you don't get this one. Well, I don't understand, Lord. Look, I'm rejoicing. No, that wasn't what this was about. you miss the ye. Okay? You miss the ye. What? The ye? What are you talking about? You miss the world, friend. I died for sinners. I came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. I commissioned you. The last thing I told you before I ascended back into heaven was to be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You did nothing. You didn't do anything. So this crown I'll be keeping. You'll not get this one. Now, folks, you see, we're not going to be judged just on what we did. We're going to be judged on what we didn't do for the Lord. We're supposed to be winning people. You see, this crown details our purpose and personal responsibility to evangelize the world. How are we going to reach the world if we don't go? How are we going to reach the world if we don't give? How are we going to evangelize? You saw, well, the Bible says that they're not going to come anyway if the Holy Spirit don't draw them. Well, guess who He's going to use to draw them? You, me. We're the one that's going to take the gospel, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, that's crown number two. Quickly, we got to move on. Look at the next crown, 2 Timothy 4:8. These are in no specific order. I'm just taking them from front to back. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. So we've looked at a crown, an incorruptible crown, which looks like based on temperance, looks like abstinence from things. A crown of rejoicing, which basically boils down to a soul-winning type crown. Then he comes to the crown of righteousness. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me, Paul said, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. Now the key to this verse is not actually in verse 8. The key to this crown is actually in verse 7. I want you to look at it. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Now here's the key. Circle this. This is the key to the next crown. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. You say, preacher, what crown is this? Remember we talked about that we're going to be judged based on our doctrine? May I say to you folks, there is a pure doctrine. And we're going to be held accountable to that pure doctrine. We're going to be held accountable to things such as that once a person is saved, it's everlasting, it's eternal. Do you realize that we're going to be judged on our doctrine and what we believe about the church and the bride of Christ? And how we treated the church. You see, the Bible has a lot to say about doctrine. Matthew 15, verse number 9 says, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, there are some that aren't going to follow the doctrines of God. They're going to make up their own doctrine. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about keeping the doctrines of God. May I say also, too, that James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And then he says that we're to keep himself, or to keep, keep himself unspotted from the world. What he's talking about there, and you can go read many of these others. Ephesians 4:14 talks about people being going about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. And then Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God. You see, the thing is, people are going after all types of doctrines today. And when we stand before God, we're going to be judged on the pure doctrines of the book. Say, preacher, what do we believe about the doctrines? Well, I'll tell you this, that if I knew of anybody else was closer to the doctrines of Baptists, that's what I'd be. You say, how did you become a Baptist? I read the Bible. I just read the Bible. And when I read the Bible, I realized, you know, I'm part of the wrong denomination. Or I was part of the wrong denomination. I said, man, them rascals, them Baptists were right. I'd take back all those negative things I said about those Baptists. Hey, do you know people, listen, folks, I'm telling you, do you know there's a large portion of Christians who thinks we're heretics? They think we're heretics. And all we're doing is just reading the Bible and accepting it. and just believing it. You see, most of the world, unfortunately, and most of Christian minds should say, they just refuse to accept the written word of God. And he says, there is a crown of righteousness. Paul said, I've kept the faith. Our doctrine will matter. What you believe will matter someday. Hey, we're going to be judged on the fidelity of life. And will it be honored? And that our fidelity of life is going to be honored. Our sacrifice, our giving of ourselves to the truth. Hey, how about a consecrated life of loyalty and service? That's going to be recognized. I wonder how many we got that's consecrated to Jesus. I wonder how many of our homes are consecrated to Jesus. I wonder how many of our lives are consecrated to Jesus. Let me tell you something. It is going to matter about consecration. It is going to matter about separation to the Lord. Hey, how about our support of morality? That's going to be made manifest. Oh, well, you know, in our day and time, we just got to accept some things, preacher. That's just the way it is. No, it's not. It's not the way it is. If it's against the Bible, we don't have to believe that. We don't have to cling to that. Wrong's wrong, right's right. We're going to be brought into accountability on the support of morality, on issues of morals and our morality. That's going to be brought into judgment. How about your dedication to God's Word? That's going to be revealed. Now, folks, if I didn't make myself clear Sunday morning, I'll make myself clear one more time. I hold in my hand the Word of God given to the English-speaking world in the King James Bible. This year is the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. There is no other Bible in the history of the world that has been used by God to produce more revivals, more souls saved, more churches started than the King James Bible. I'm sorry, there isn't. And you know, the amazing thing is, I was raised in another denomination, and I don't know if this, I guess this was just the divine providence of God. You know, the amazing thing is that other denomination I was raised in, they only used the King James Bible. Now, the sad thing is they didn't believe in eternal security, but they used the King James Bible. So you know what, I never had to fight this issue on, well, this version or that version. Never had to. This is all I was ever raised on, even in another denomination. But you know what people are going to be judged on? The dedication to the Word of God. As I mentioned Sunday morning, folks, there is no generics. There is no generic form of the Word of God. There is the Word of God, and there is no other. And by the way, this book I hold in my hand called the King James Bible does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Let's look at another crown real quickly. James chapter 1. James 1, quickly. These other two will go pretty quick here. Okay, James 1 and verse 12. James 1 and verse 12. Now there's a key word here. See if you can pick it out in context. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Then go and look at verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Anybody want to guess what the key word is in the context? It's temptation. It's trials, being tried. This crown here, my friend, is a crown you get that's going to cost you your life. I don't care about that crown. Well, may I say to you tonight that there are many great men and women of years gone by that shall receive the crown of life. You know why? Because they stood up for God. They stood up for the Word of God. They stood up for truth. Hey, I wonder how many tonight, if the government walked in these doors and they said, hey, listen, I'm taking everybody in here to prison that don't recant your faith tonight in the Word of God. I wonder how many would say, well, you know, I knew that preacher was a stinking liar. These people around it. Hey, he's the one that told us to believe it. Take him to jail. Hey, I'm telling you, folks. You say, oh, preacher, I wouldn't. Can I say something? Oh, Peter didn't think he would either. But he did, didn't he? You see, he thought, oh, Lord, no, no, no. I'll follow you even unto death. Follow me even to death. You know what Jesus told him? He said, listen, the rooster's not even going to crow this night, and you'll have denied me three times. And you know what? I'm still not convinced that Peter even believed that. Not me. And you know something? I believe there's a lot of people in here that think that you're going to stand in that day. But you know, there's a lot of people that died. Millions and millions of martyrs have died. And may I say, they did stand in that day. They stood for the Word of God and they stood for truth. And you know what shall be given them one day? The crown of life. You say, preacher, you want this crown? I'm not working at it, but if it comes to it, I'm going to do my best to stand. And if my life is taken, the crown of life. You see, it's being faithful under trials and persecutions. It's faithful unto death. It's not being ashamed of Christ. Not being ashamed of Jesus. You see, not every believer is going to receive this crown. But may I say, every believer should be willing to receive this crown. They ought to be willing to receive this crown. Let me show you one more. 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, turn quickly there. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 4. Let's go back and read verse number 1 because we'll get the context here. The elders which are among you, I exhort, Peter says, who am also an elder. So he puts himself in this group. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, that's money, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Now listen to what he says. And if you do these things, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now this is another crown that not everybody is going to qualify for. Because this crown right here, the key here, if you have to go at in context, is the second word in verse number 1. He said the elders. That's the key word. That tells you what's connecting this crown. This is a crown that will be given to faithful men of God that have stood up and preached the truth. They fed the flock of God. They did it because they loved God and not for a paycheck. They didn't preach for a paycheck. They didn't preach for money. They preached because they loved God. They preached because they wanted to see souls saved and people reach for the glory of God. You see, this crown will be rewarded them by the chief shepherd. Not everybody will qualify for this crown, but there will be many, many men of God that will qualify. And by the way, may I say to you that it's not a crown given to someone just because they have a title. Did you notice what he said? Feed the flock of God, not for filthy lucre. You see, unfortunately, in the ministry today, there are some people that are teaching and are preaching and are ministering for filthy lucre. You know what? They forfeit this crown. I don't believe they get it just because they have a title. I believe they get this crown if they're participating in what comes with this crown and meeting the criteria, feeding the flock of God, taking the oversight, willingness to serve, not driven by money, not lords, but leaders. Now let me wrap this up and say this. Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10. You say, what are we going to do with these crowns? What if I have me a big old stack of them, preacher? Am I going to put them on my mantle in my mansion and set them up there so I can see them every day? No, don't think so. Am I going to wear them on my head? No, don't think so. Am I going to be able to sell them? No, can't sell them. You're going to do what the 24 elders did in Revelation chapter 4. And verse number 10, are you looking at there? What did they do with them? They took those crowns in worship and love and respect and loyalty. They took those crowns and cast them before the throne. Because you know what? I think once we compare, once we see the goodness and glory of God compared to these crowns that He gives us, I don't know about you folks, but I want to serve God debt free. And they cast them at the feet of the Son of God. You say, you mean I'm not going to keep them? No. Can I say to you, you might think that way right now, but when you get to heaven, you ain't going to want to keep them. Because you're going to look at what you have and what He's done. You're going to say, man, this is not even comparable. And you're going to throw them back at the feet of the Son of God. And may I say to you also, that after that judgment seat is over, after that examination is over, based on our faithfulness and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, we are going to come back with Him to this earth. And when we come back with the Lord to this earth, we're going to rule and reign with Him 1,000 years. You say, boy, I can't wait. I'm going to be president of a country. I'm going to be governor. Well, Jesus said that if you've been faithful over a few things, He'd make you ruler over. Okay, let's think. If we haven't been faithful over a few things, then we're not going to be ruler over anything. You see, we may go into it wanting to be president and end up being a janitor. You see, do you mean there's going to be janitors in the millennial kingdom? I don't know. I'm just trying to make a comparison. There's a big difference between the president and a janitor. But you, may I say to you folks, regardless, shouldn't we want to do the best that we can do for Christ? So that when the crowns come and they're offered, that I wouldn't receive them with a boastful spirit and say, yes, yes, I knew I'd get this one. I don't think that's going to be the attitude. I think we're going to fall on our face before God and say, I can't believe it. I can't believe that You found me faithful. And boy, that's going to be the foundation of it all. Faithfulness to Christ in that day. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many can say tonight, preacher, no, beyond doubt, I'm saved, going to heaven. Slip your hand up way up high and say, that's me. I know it, know it, know it. Know